So it's like you're grinding, you're putting in all this hour, you're really trying to get to this place in the future for the sake of what? What is it? What is it that you really want? Why are you doing this? And sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's like they want to have lots of zeros and commas on their net worth, you know, or something like that. And it's like an ego is dangerous. If you get sucked in by the ego, that can really destroy your life.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Passive Income Pilots. My name is Ryan Gibson. I'm here with my co-host, Tate Duryea. Tate, how are you doing?
Doing excellent. We just had the most incredible conversation with Rich Fetke. He's such a great guy. I mean, he's like one of those guys that you just admire.
What do you like most about what we talked about?
I like the fact that we talked more about the lifestyle stuff, right? We talk a lot about money and investing and tactics and strategies and taxes on this show. And today it's a little bit more about, you know, the rest of the pie chart in terms of life and, you know, the why around why you're doing anything, why you're working so hard or investing. It's about family, it's about mortality, it's about financial freedom. So yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah, I really like the fact that he broke down what a coach versus a mentor versus kind of a consultant is, because I think a lot of times in our aviation careers, we think of people as coaches, but really they're just mentors or consultants. Like they're just teaching us a trade or a skill, and they're not really giving us that full perspective on life and how to best, you know, organize your situation, family at home. And I think that's just something that maybe isn't talked about. And you know, I think I really enjoyed how we dove into how, you know, does a pilot need a coach, or does a pilot need, right, you know, a mentor, you know, whatever it might be. And we go deep into that stuff, but we also conclude the episode with some discussions around some of the investment strategies that Rich has taken over the last 20 years. And we talk about his book that he just wrote. So
yeah,
really excited to get into the show. Rich Fetke is the co-CEO, co-founder of the Real Wealth Network. And if you haven't checked them out, they have a great podcast that we'll get into, the Real Wealth Show and the Real Estate News for Investors. So with that, let's get into the show. Rich, welcome to the show. Really excited to have a friend and a fellow colleague in the business on the show.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward to it and happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Rich, before we dive into, you know, all the fun stuff about your book and lifestyle around cash flow and financial freedom and all that stuff, let's get some background on you. We met at a conference in Keystone. I've seen you speak. It's incredible. So yeah, how'd you get here?
Yeah, we've all skied together. We mountain biked. Yeah, it's good stuff. Really cool. So how did I get here with Real Wealth and our company and all that stuff? And really what got us into real estate investing, it was 20 years ago. I had just published my first book. I had a book deal with Simon & Schuster, feeling on top of the world. I was giving keynote speeches around the country at a thriving coaching practice. And then I was diagnosed with melanoma, which is not the worst thing. It's a deadly form of skin cancer, but they can remove it. But they thought that it had spread to my liver. They had me do a CT scan and they saw four masses on my liver. So after multiple tests over a couple months, I met with an oncologist and he said, yeah, it looks like it's spread to your liver. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, it means you probably have about 6 months to live. So it just rocked our world. My wife, Kathy, was a stay-at-home mom. We had two young daughters. One was seven, one was three. And it just was a real kick in the gut. And Kathy, as a stay-at-home mom, was like, what am I going to do financially? We had a pretty large house with a big mortgage and all those expenses and the kids. And so she started to seek out mentors to figure out what she's going to do, started to talk to people who were wealthy and successful. And a lot of them were real estate investors. So she was like, this is what I can do. I can become an investor. She met one person who was a mortgage broker. This is 2003. And he said, you could get your license, become a mortgage broker. So that's what turned us on to real estate investing in the beginning. And thankfully, the doctor's diagnosis was wrong. The melanoma did not spread to my liver. It was a false positive, as they call it. It was just hemangioma. It's just clusters of blood vessels on my liver that showed up just like cancer in my liver. But when I got a PET scan, which is the most advanced scan for looking for cancer, it showed me cancer free. So that was the blessing. But not knowing for 3 months and waiting for those tests was just, it really rocked my world. It's changed my whole perspective on life, on what it means to be alive and getting the most out of life, and that life is much more than just money. And it was also the blessing that got us into real estate investing. So once I got the cancer-free diagnosis, Kathy and I started to invest. We bought a bunch of single-family properties out in Dallas, Texas, a little north of Dallas. And then we had people saying, you know, friends and family, like, how are you living in San Francisco Bay Area, where we used to live, and buying properties in Texas? And so we just wanted to show them how we did it and how we connected with brokers out there and property managers. So we formed what we thought would be a small group, maybe 100 or 200 friends and family. And Kathy had a small podcast, or it was a radio show back then before podcasts. And then we started this little group that we called Real Wealth Network. And today that network, 20 years later, is we have over 70,000 members at Real Wealth. So we help people get into real estate, into investment properties around the country. So that's how I got to where I am today.
That's so incredible, Rich. So did you ever see yourself leading a, you know, writing books and leading a 70,000 person essentially mastermind and network of you know, real estate education?
No, not at all. I mean, I always thought I was going to be a real estate investor. I was in a personal development workshop. Actually, where I met Kathy in 1995 was in a personal development workshop. It was like a 3-month program where you set goals and you're held accountable over the time. And we were actually partnered up as buddies in that program. And in it, they had us write our obituaries. So you put how old you were when you died and some of the things you accomplished in life, kind of begin with the end in mind type thing. And I wrote, Rich Fetke dies 108 years old. He was a giver. He cared about people. He was a real successful real estate investor and businessman. And we didn't own a single property back then. I had never owned a property. So I just always thought I would, but I also thought that I had to have millions of dollars before I could become a real estate investor. So it was an interesting wake up call to realize that how you can leverage and you don't need that much money really to get started. So no, I did not think that we would be, I thought I'd be an investor and a real estate investor, but I didn't think we'd have a group in helping thousands of other people become real estate investors.
Yeah. Yeah. How did that first deal transpire? Like, what did that actually look like? Because, you know, as pilots, a lot of pilots are out there, you know, they might own a home, but they don't own a physical investment property. And they're thinking, you know, how do I go from 0 to 1?
That's the hardest step. It really is. You know, I've got several friends who just waited for years. Some of them are kicking themselves for waiting this last run up, you know, when they see they talked about investing 5-6 years ago. And now they're like, why did I not invest? But it's, you know, the best time to get started is now if you haven't started. And that first property is a game changer for mindset. You know, it's like all of a sudden you see the world different. And he's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm an investor now. So what we did is just, you know, it was actually Kathy. She went up first to Dallas because she was a mortgage broker. She had some clients who were saying, I want to get a mortgage on an investment property and I want to buy out here. She's like, whoa, out in Rockwall, Texas. And so she looked into it. And because she was communicating with the broker over there on doing that deal, she just said, hey, I'd be interested in buying one of these rental properties. So she flew out there and she came home and she said, I bought a property. It was like, I bought a puppy, you know? And she's like, here, we take care of managing it and everything. So we had a property manager, but you know, there's the other things you need to manage, or like manage your property managers and your taxes and keeping track of the numbers and everything. But then we went out to get together and bought more properties.
That's excellent. Well, I can't highlight enough how powerful that is, just the take action part of it, right? Because so many people, myself included, for many years in the beginning part of my real estate career, which is to analyze and analyze and analyze. And I'd find reasons to talk myself out of buying a property, but it's like, you know, you're going to make mistakes. It's like the biggest error that I see in early on in people's real estate careers is thinking that they're going to find the perfect deal. And it's never going to come. It's never going to be that perfect deal. So you just look 100%. For the base hit and put it under contract and just roll with it. Cause you're going to learn, you're going to make mistakes. But yeah, anyway, that's my two cents.
It's so true. And there is no such thing as a perfect investment, right?
Right.
It's like some people are looking for cash flow and they're not going to get the appreciation. Some people, the other side of things, you know, some people want no risk at all. Right. But they also want lots of gains, you know, it's like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. So, you know, Rich, what I've always admired about you the most is, you know, your approach, your wisdom, your philosophy of not just looking at a deal, but, you know, how you approach life and how you invest and how you've kind of created this lifestyle. And I'll never forget actually attending one of your training sessions in California and you pulling up this wheel, right? And it's not just about like making money, but there's more to it. There's more to it, like spending time with family. There's spending time on yourself. There's spending time on just kind of having a whole complete person. And I know that your book, The Wise Investor, that you just recently put out, kind of talks about your journey and the different things that, you know, an investor might need to think about, you know, when they're investing, not just about the numbers and the data, but can you kind of speak to that? I know I'm a little open-ended here. I don't have a direct question, but you know, walk us through some of that philosophies that you've taken through the last 20 years of investing to be more of a complete person.
Yeah, well, thank you for the acknowledgement, first of all. It's very kind and awesome. Feels great because that's the type of person I try to be. You know, it's really that comes from the life wheel came from coaching. And like I said earlier, it's like I was a coach for 15 years before we started Real Wealth. And really, I would sit down with a coaching client and I was more of a business coach. So I'd be working with a CEO or an entrepreneur and I would pull out that life wheel in our initial session and say like, oh, no, wait a minute. I want to focus on my business, expanding my business and making more profitability and all this. Why do we have to look at health or significant other and romance or fun and recreation? And a lot of times I would just say, well, you know, you want to increase your assets, right? And they're like, yeah. So if you don't take care of this wedge of the wheel called significant other and romance, you could lose half of those assets, right? And they'd be like, oh, crap. Yeah. Or I'd say you don't take care of this area called health and fitness, and you could lose 100% of everything. And so that is one of the things I learned. And having that scare with cancer and thinking that I was going to be gone, possibly gone, it changed my whole perspective. You know, took that coaching and it took it to the next level. Because one of the things when I really looked at that, and people say like, what would you have done different in your life? You know, when they were saying, you know, when they were telling me that I might have 6 months to live. And I looked back and I said, you know, because of coaching and having my own coach and having me look at my whole life, I actually don't have many regrets because I really focused on living my life balanced, on spending time with my family, on taking care of myself, on having fun, on living now, not in some distant future when I make enough money or something like that. So yeah, it's big to me. It's true. That's why we called our company Real Wealth, because it's more than just money. It's about real wealth to us is having the money and the freedom to live life on your own terms. It's about being a better person. It's about being with the people you love. So I just know on a deep level that it's like, you know, it's like that old saying, some people are so poor, all they have is money, right? And I see that. Now we live in Malibu, California, and it's like, there's a lot of money here in Malibu. And I see a lot of people who are stoked and they seem happy, but I also see a lot of people who are miserable and grumpy. And I've met a lot of people like that. And it's like, even though they're multimillionaires or billionaires, I just don't see that as wealthy. I really don't. So I think that's absolutely vital, is to look back and what do you want to do with that money? How do you want to live now and not put it off till later?
This is such good stuff because, you know, we talk a lot on this show about tactics and strategies on how to create wealth, be more tax efficient, that sort of thing. But we don't get a whole lot of time to talk about, you know, what to do with it and the other sides of life. So what are some exercises that people can go through to be that better person or to work on their relationships or work? Is there anything that, you know, as a coach, if you're working with, let's say, an airline pilot who's flying and away half the month and they're trying to optimize their finances and make investments, but they're also trying to be the best person that they can be for their family and their friends, what are some things that they can do in order to kind of set themselves up for success.
Yeah. And I think, Ryan, you were probably in that same presentation I gave. I probably walked you through an exercise where you met your future self, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a big one. I wove that into the wise investor. Wise investor is just a parable. It's a story about this 40 something guy who's trying to make ends meet. He is working so many hours that he doesn't have time for his wife or his kids or his life. And then he meets this wise mentor who takes him through some of these coaching exercises that like I did there with Ryan in that presentation and that what I've done for the past 25 years now. And so the first thing I think that's really powerful is to actually imagine going into your future, say 10, 20 years. Just close your eyes, take this little mental journey. And I actually have a visualization that I walk people through on this. I do it with my coaching clients in person on the phone. I just spoke in Maui at the Better Life REI Summit with Brandon mm-hmm. Turner, and I did it for the whole group there. And it's pretty cool because people have tears running down their face and, you know, it's really cool. And I just love it. And I do it all the time. So that exercise that I would highly recommend is to do that. I can give you guys a link that you can put in show notes or whatever, but I've got it for free for anyone if they want to go do it. It's about 10 to 15 minute visualization. And you actually imagine going into the future and you meet your future self. You see where they're living. You get to ask them questions. You get to see what they're doing for work, what they've accomplished, what their family's like, what they're like. And it's a profound shift, really, because it's that begin with the end in mind. You get to go into the future. You get to meet your future self and say, what's important to him or to her? And what do I want to do now? And then you get to ask your future self, what do I need to do today to get to where you are? And who do I need to be today to become you? And it's amazing because you're actually tapping into the subconscious part of the brain, which is so powerful. And you get these awareness and going like, oh man, I got to start changing, making some changes over here. It's like, we all know on a deep level, when I ask a coaching client, you know, what's one thing you really need to stop doing? People know, you know, they know what to do. And what's the one thing you need to start doing more often? And we know. So often we, as human beings, we're so good at justifying and rationalizing why we're not taking action yet. It's like, I'm going to back off on my drinking soon, but, you know, but so many social things coming up, you know, and it's like, so I got to drink and party. This is one example, you know, but it could be anything. It could be how you're eating. It could be not exercising. It could be spending time with your family. So I think that's a key.
Rich, I'm going to turn this into a therapy session with me a little bit.
okay, let's go.
Okay. I'm asking for a friend. You know, how do you coach the guy who maybe wants to work his butt off, just endlessly pick up trips, pick up green slips, do side on the, you know, real estate on the side. And it's because they have the vision of where they want to be financially. And they kind of feel like the only way to get there is just to work their rear end off until, you know, misery. And that could mean jeopardizing the wheel, right? Like not having time with family or taking the time with your kids. You know, it's almost like an anxiety sometimes of like, I really want to be financially successful. And so I'm going to jeopardize the today to get there, right? Because that's called sacrifice.
Totally.
And sometimes you just take it to the peg and you redline it and you don't reel yourself back in. Because I know there's people that, you know, very motivated people listening to the show that are doing that, right? They're mm-hmm. they're flying extra trips. They're you know, spending all their time, you know, educating themselves and researching podcasts and doing like that. But where's the balance, or how do you strike the balance?
Yeah, you know, coaching is not therapy, but it can definitely be therapeutic, you know, but coaching is very much, where are you now and where do you want to go? And that's what I love about coaching. You know, therapy definitely has its place, but I love coaching because it's like, where are you now? So a lot of times someone like that, the question I would say was, what would happen all of a sudden if you were told that you had 3 months to live? What would you do? You know, and just really, you know, like let that sink in for a moment. Right now, you were told that you had 3 months to live. Would you have any regrets? And to really take a look at like that, that's the memento mori, right? It's the knowing that we are going to die at some time. It could be tomorrow, it could be in 3 months, and it could be in 50 years. But that's what the Stoics did, always looking at, I am going to die and it could be soon. So am I living the way I want to live today? So that's one thing that I would ask is that I put it in that frame. That's a big one. Yeah, yeah. But really, and get serious about it. And then the other one is one of my favorite questions that I had a mentor ask me years ago is for the sake of what? So it's like you're grinding, you're putting in all this hour, you're really trying to get to this place in the future for the sake of what? What is it? What is it that you really want? Why are you doing this? And sometimes it's ego. Sometimes it's like they want to have lots of zeros and commas on their net worth, you know, or something like that. And it's like an ego is dangerous. If you get sucked in by the ego, that can really destroy your life. So, I mean, that's a huge one. It's like for the sake of what? And then have them come back to today and just like, you know, that would be one part. And then the last part on that would be, especially on the health and fitness one, or taking care of themselves, or like the drinking thing I mentioned, or not eating well, or whatever it is, or not sleeping. It's kind of like having them realize that they could be much more effective in those working hours if they were healthy, if they were more present, if they were thinking better, instead of just grind. When you grind really hard for too long, you just become less effective. You don't think as well, you're not as effective. And those hours that you're putting in, it's like you're doing a quarter of the amount of focused work that you could be doing. So it's all about deep work, really. I think that's it. It's like, what's the most important thing? And the book, The One Thing, is a great thing. That's a great book. Have you guys read that one?
Yes.
The One Thing. Yeah. So it's like coming back to what's that one thing that you could do that would make everything easier or more effective, you know? So a lot of times I'll do that with my clients, is give them a recommended reading.
Yeah. Pilots are experts in recognizing fatigue. You know, when they're tired, when they're, you know, when their day is too long, or they can't work one more flight, we're experts in saying, I can't take this flight because I'm going to be too exhausted and I could jeopardize the safety of flight. And so the airline's done a phenomenal job of saying, you know, hey, there's no punitive action here for you opting out of this flight, because we'd rather have you well rested and ready for to go. You know, what would you say the signs are in someone's life if they're grinding, and what are some early on indications that maybe you do need to kind of look back at the wheel and take a step back, or maybe you're working too hard?
I mean, the bottom line is we know, just like you said, pilots are really good at recognizing that. We really know. So it's having someone else in your life. I've had a coach for the last 25 years, different coaches over the years, but I have a coach today that I talk to every 2 weeks, every other Friday at 10 a.m. I'm talking to my coach Kenji for an hour, and he's asking me questions that have me really, that hold up the mirror, that have me look at myself to be like, it's just, and that's why I said, it's like, you get this other voice that's just like, push, you got to keep going. It's like, I call it the gremlin. It's that inner voice. It's like cracking the whip, and you got to keep going. You got to keep accomplishing. So having that check-in of someone else to just say, how are you living? How, you know, what's your fatigue level? How much rest are you taking? Enough rest? You know, are you getting enough sleep? So sometimes it's just having an external source of someone who really cares about you, someone, either a mentor or a professional coach. I wouldn't say have it be your spouse. I don't think it's always a great idea to be coached by your spouse, because, you know, they can see you in your daily life. And sometimes you don't want to be held accountable by your coach, you know, but me is when I'm coaching someone, it's like, I don't care if I piss them off, you know, if they fire me, that's fine. Because I'm always looking out for their best interests. I'm going to be their champion.
I really want to talk about goals and goal setting. And one of the things, I think this came from Brandon Turner actually, is that a mistake that I think a lot of people make when they make goals is they don't stop to think, what does this goal require of me? Because every goal, especially big goals, require you to be somebody who you are not today. And you have to become the kind of person, like let's use going to the gym 5 days a week, right? Mm-hmm. The goal should not be framed as I need to get in my car and drive to the gym and go to the gym. The goal should be becoming the type of person and identifying as the type of person that goes to, I'm just one of those people that goes to the gym 5 times a week. If you don't stop to ask what that goal is going to require of you, I think that you can sometimes head down a path that you realize later that isn't worth the pain. You know, if I said I want to run a triathlon, it's like, okay, well, what am I going to have to give up in order to accomplish that goal, right? So Can you speak to that a little bit in terms of just life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Brandon calls them identity-based goals. And I love that. I agree 100%. That's why I love the future self exercise, because it's who do you want to be? And that's so that you're getting your identity clear on who are you. Another thing I love to do is super powerful is to write your own eulogy. What do you want people to say about you at your service? You know, whatever it might be, someone gets up to give a talk and what do they say about you? And, you know, a fun thing you can do with this, if you want to play with it, is that's kind of new to me that I started to do 6 months ago, is use ChatGPT. And you go into ChatGPT and you put in all the qualities of who you really want to be. Who do you want to be in the future? What would you want people to say? And you can just bullet list it. You can just be caring, loving, successful, dedicated, great husband, you know, whatever it might be, giver, charity and everything. And then you can say, hey, write a eulogy for, you put your name in, and I died at this age and here's my qualities. And it will create an amazing eulogy. When I read mine, I actually got all teary-eyed. So, And that is identity-based goal setting. And so it's starting with who you really want to be. And when you get aligned with that, yeah, then all the goals and everything just start to line up and become easier. And you start being more congruent with who you want to be with your goal setting, instead of like setting goals out of ego or what you think you should do or whatever. It's like you're not doing a workout just for the six pack that you can do a selfie on Instagram or something, right? You're working out for maybe
it's
healthier.
It's getting at the why, right? It's like, I want to lose 20 pounds. Like, okay, well, why? You know, what are you trying to get to? Where's it?
One thing that someone told, I don't know where I heard this, but I thought this was interesting. There's two people in life that you need to impress, and it's your 8-year-old self and your 80-year-old self.
Oh, I love that.
Love that.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's like, yeah, like when I was a kid, you know, who did I want to really be, you know, as an adult self? You know, maybe that's why I, you know, got into the airlines, right? Because I thought that was super cool to be an airline pilot. And then when you're 80, when you look backwards, it's like, what life did I wanted to have to live, you know? And it's kind of a different way of saying it, I guess. And I'm sure you could poke holes in that philosophy, but I think it's really neat.
I love it. Just to speak to that, it's like you looked forward and you said like, oh, that's really cool, an airline pilot stuff. And then you got into it, you became an airline pilot and you were doing it, making decent money and loving what you do. And then you said, okay, what about my future self? And you're like, wait a minute, I also want financial freedom, financial independence. What do I need to do now to have that as an airline pilot? So you took action for that. So that's cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Rich, your new book is The Wise Investor, A Modern Parable About Creating Financial Freedom and Living Your Best Life. So we've been talking a lot about living your best life. Can we talk a little bit about what financial freedom means for somebody who may not be as familiar with it as the three of us are?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty simple definition. It's being able to have enough monthly cash flow to cover your living expenses. So you're free. So you're job optional is the way I like to look at it. You're job optional. You work because you love it, because you're passionate about it and it's what you do, but you don't have to. So you have the freedom. You're not locked to that. So that's true in my book. That's true financial freedom is being able to, if all of a sudden you lost your job, you'd be like, it's okay. No problem.
You know, when you talked about that 6 month runway that the doctor gave you, obviously that's a much more grave situation, but every 6 months, if you're over 40 as an airline pilot and you're listening to this, every 6 months, you've got 6 months to work until that next medical comes up. And there are a lot of non-life-threatening conditions that can pop up that, you know, I know a lot of people that have lost their medical and they go out and it puts serious financial strain on their family. And so having that baseline of cash flow is something I think we should all be striving for, just to reduce the amount of stress that you feel that you have to get that ticket every year, every 6 months to go continue to make that paycheck. Yeah, it's something that's kind of unique to this industry.
Yeah. And it does, it really shifts people. You know, when we got really clear, you know, we ran our business from 2003 to probably about 2012. And it was in 2012 that Kathy and I went to a mastermind, and it was all about growing your business, and really was about getting clear on your purpose, your mission, your values, all that stuff. And it transformed our business. After we did that, we hit the Inc. 5000 list 3 years in a row. And it wasn't because we learned about certain profit strategies or how to reduce expenses. It was we learned about the importance of a purpose and how everyone on your team aligns around that purpose. And that purpose for us was helping, when we got clear about it, was like helping people create real wealth. And we're like, why is that important to us? That being able to be job optional and the financial freedom, and so they can live life on their own terms, all that. And when we got really clear, I remember Kathy and I were driving along on the freeway. We're going from Southern California up to Northern California. And we're like, so what is our real purpose? And what came up for us was, when people have that financial freedom, when they don't stress about money, they end up better, being better people, better humans, better parents, better spouses to each other, because there's not that financial stress or that financial burden of that. It's kind of that lingering fear, like you said, that every 6 months, it could be like, oh man, I hope everything goes well. When you take that away and you got the financial abundance, you're just a better human. It's like life is better.
So how do you create that? And you know, I really want to frame this from an airline pilot perspective who is thinking, hey, I've got a great retirement account. I don't want to beat up on retirement accounts. We have great 401ks. They're fantastic. It's going to be a great pot of gold when you get to the end of your career, right? Mm. But can we just sort of unpack the difference between, you know, a very generous 401k plan that's going to be there for you when you're older, and financial freedom? Like, what is the difference between those two, and how do you create financial freedom?
I mean, one of the hugest things that comes up for me is, as an airline pilot, that's earned income that you're earning, right? And so you're getting taxed pretty heavy on that income. And so, yes, the retirement plan is great and helps reduce that earned income when it comes to tax time. But when you're invested in real estate, when you're invested as a limited partner in a syndication, or when you buy rental properties, there's so many benefits to that on the tax side of things, that you actually reduce the amount of taxes you pay. So you actually make more money and have put more money back into your investments. So it's kind of like this cool snowball where you start having more money to invest and your investments grow faster. And so you don't have to wait until the end of your career for that retirement account. You get to start seeing the benefits from that first investment. That's a big one for me.
Yeah. Ryan, I know you're dying to jump in there.
Yeah, you have a coach and you just wrote a book, and you've obviously got a ton of wisdom, a ton of cash flow, but you said you still have a coach that checks in with you twice a week to keep you on track.
Mm-hmm.
That's super powerful. And, you know, so my question was, you know, who needs a coach, and how do you identify and find one? I mean, it sounds like even the very best people in this space, like yourself, still have a coach. So can you kind of speak to that? You know, in the airline applicability, you know, I'm a pilot, I'm thinking about this. Do I need a coach? What would a coach do? What would these conversations be like? You know, they're not going to help me fly, you know, but maybe they're going to help me be well-rounded. I don't know. Can I kind of speak to that?
Absolutely. I'd love to, because it's super powerful. I think about a great documentary is called Stutz. It's Phil Stutz. He's a coach and a therapist, like psychotherapist. And his documentary is by Jonah Hill. So Jonah Hill, very successful actor and very financially well off, lives here in Malibu as well. He works and has worked with Phil Stutz for a while. And so he does this documentary on him because the sessions are so powerful. And so I think anyone who is coachable should have a coach. Anyone who wants to get better, who wants to become a better version of themselves, who wants to be, like we said before, a better parent, a better better spouse, just a better human, more successful, whatever it might be, to do what they know is best for them. So for me, a real good coach is a real difference between like a coach and a mentor and a consultant. Like a consultant, you would hire, and they're an expert in a certain area. Like you might hire a consultant to, you know, teach you, you know, flying, or you might have that kind of that trainer who helps you when you're first getting your pilot's license or something, you know, because they're specific and they know that. Or you might have a mentor, and a mentor is a little different. They're like been there, done that. So they're like, if you do what I did, you can get to where I am, and which is cool. And so, you know, I've had mentors in my life. A coach to me is someone who's specifically trained in the Socratic method, where they know how to ask you the right questions, the real powerful questions, the big bombs that are going to have you really take a look at you, how you're operating, what's working in your life, what's not working. Are you being the person you want to be? And then so in really looking at it, not just like beating you up or saying, showing where you're wrong. It's like, where are you really excelling? You know, what are you great at? What are your strengths? And then, and what are the areas in your life where you need to tweak it a little bit? You need to improve things a little bit. You know, it's like, what is your best self? And you have your client describe that. So say you're in a pilot and your coach is asking you, who is you at your best? What does it look like? What do your days look like? What does your life look like? Who do you look like? And the client, you know, to answer those questions and say, okay, what's the gap? You know, from where you are to where you want to be, like the life wheel, Ryan, we were talking about that life wheel. People fill it out and they go from a zero on the inside of the wheel to zero, and a 10 would be on the outside. It's like most people are not a 10 all the way around. They're like a, you know, an 8, a 6, a 2, a 9, whatever. And then, so it's looking at the twos or the threes and say, okay, so this is a 2. Your level of satisfaction is a 2 in this area of your life. What would it look like if it was a 4 or a 5? So you don't have to say like, whoa, let's bring it out to 10, but what would it look like if it was like a 4 or 5? And that client's going to be like, it would look like this, and this is what would be different. Okay, what do you need to do to get from where you are now to there? And they come up with a goal, you know, with an idea, with a step. And then the coach is also there to hold them accountable. So, you know, 2 weeks later, it's like, so this is the step that you committed to, this small step to get there. How'd it go? Did you do it? If not, what didn't work? What can you do differently next time? So it's all about just getting better and becoming a better version of yourself in whatever area of life that is.
I love that answer because, you know, you answered part of my next question, which was, you know, I really do want to make this applicable to, you know, down the middle of the bowling alley. I'm an aviator. I'm making a great living. I got, you know, some good time off. I'm making investments. I think that in the business world, coaching is very normalized. I've been with a couple different coaches. It's easier to justify the cost. Coaches are typically quite expensive. So sometimes, you know, if you're in business and you want to get a coach to sort of help, you know, keep that wheel well-rounded and balance things and have them sort of tease the best ideas out of you, I think it's very easy to justify. But if you're not, if you don't have any sort of business outside flying, it might be more difficult to decide that actually, you know, yeah, I could definitely get something out of that. So what would you say to those people, and what kind of a coach would they be looking for if it was not business focused?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically a life coach. There's the International Coaching Federation. I used to be the vice president of that back in the day, a long time ago. Now it's got hundreds of thousands of coaches in there. And I think it's called, I think it's coachfederation.org is their website. They're a nonprofit organization. It's the largest coach organization in the world. And you can find a coach in their database. So you can search for, it's called a PPC, a professionally certified coach. There's also MCCs, a master certified coach, who's someone who has more hours, more experience. They've coached with more clients. They're usually more expensive. But I would say hiring a PCC, a professionally certified coach, you know that they have gone through the curriculum. They've got some hours in. They've gone through training. And so they know how to ask you those powerful questions. They know how to hold your agenda and not be attached to their own agenda. But you can hire a coach for a couple hundred dollars a month. You know, especially someone who's newer, they're just certified, maybe certified 6 months ago, but they're still going to have the skills and be able to coach you. So it can range. Yeah, it can range from a couple hundred dollars a month to several thousand dollars a month. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Rich, I'd like to change gears just a little bit. And as we wrap up the time with you, talk about what your business does a little bit more specifically, kind of give a shout out to Real Wealth Network. Also, would love to give a shout out to Kathy's podcast. Real estate news for investors. It's on my top of my list. It has been for 5+ years. Really good podcast. We'll put that in the show notes. Real estate news for investors. And then the Real Wealth Show is also another podcast that you guys have. But are you doing another one as well, or have I just seen you a lot?
No. I know Kathy is amazing. I definitely she just blows my mind. Just when I listen to her podcast too, and I'm just like, man, I can't believe I'm married to this woman. It's pretty awesome. but she's also on the Bigger Pockets On the Market podcast.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, which is great. It's all like, you know, looking at where are we with the market, the economy, and everything. And so she's the OG and the only female representation right there on that show. So that's awesome. Great. Yeah. So Real Wealth, what we do is we just help people get into investment properties in growing markets around the country. That's what we've always done. Single family properties from 1 to 4 units. And what we do is we have basically right now, I think we have 18 property teams in these emerging markets, most in the East, Southeast, some in South like Texas and everything like that. So we find the markets where they're growing, population is growing, businesses are moving there from California usually. And so when people, and it's and usually landlord friendly states. So we have property teams on the ground there, they're their own companies. And so we vet them. We go out, we check out the quality of their properties, if they're rehabbed or if they're new builds, are they in the right neighborhoods? What are they like? We check out their property management to make sure it's all quality. And some of our property teams have been with us for over a decade. So it's just like, it's pretty simple. So we educate investors. We've never charged for our education, never charged for membership for Real Wealth. And then what we do is we refer people to these different brokers and property teams around the country so they can acquire and have their own investment properties. Most people put together a portfolio of maybe 10 to 20 investment properties. A lot of people do 10 investor loans. A lot of them will be duplexes or quads or something like that. And it's pretty simple. So I'm a real estate broker. So I get a broker-to-broker referral fee, or a company does, whenever we refer an investor. So it's really a win-win-win, because it's a win for the investor because they don't have to pay any more for these investment properties. It's a win for the property team because they get to have a buyer, and these referral fees are paid by them, by the seller. So it works out good for everyone.
How would they get on your list, or how would they find out more information I think you could do like a consultant strategy, right? You have a Real Wealth.
Yeah, we have investment counselors. We have 3 investment counselors that are all experienced investors. They have their own portfolios. They've all been investing for 10 years or more. So they're all walking the talk and still investing. Like I said, everything's free. It just basically, you just go to realwealth.com. You join for free. You fill out a quick form, and then you're assigned one of our investment counselors. And then you can have a phone call, usually 30, 45 minute phone call. And you say, these are my goals. This is my experience. This is what I'm looking for. Is it more cash flow, more appreciation, a little mix of both? These are markets I might be interested in. And they kind of just guide you, and they make the connection between you and this other property team. Or they usually say, here's 3 property teams you might want to get a check out based on what you're looking for. Some people will fly out to the market and look at the properties and select them and purchase them. Some people will go sight unseen. They'll just look at the photos, the videos, the pro formas, and make their purchase that way. And it's all pretty passive, because the property management's real quality, and mostly what you're doing is kind of just checking in with your property managers and checking your bank account every month.
That's great. What are some markets you're kind of focused right now? You said 18, but what are your top 3 markets you're sort of looking at right now?
Yeah, right now, Florida's been really great, really solid. Kathy and I actually just bought a duplex from one of our property teams in Palm Coast of Florida. Really cool. A builder did a buy down on the rates. So we got 4.75% 30-year interest rate on a duplex. We bought it for $469,000. It appraised for $488,000, and the cash flow is a little over $600 a month. So it's, I love Florida, and there's still opportunities there. Honestly, it's still growing. And, we've seen rents still going up there, not as like they were, but rents are still going up. Businesses are still moving there. So all around Florida, we have 4 different property teams in Florida, and on the West Coast and the South and the North, Central Florida. And then north of Dallas is really good, quite north of Dallas, closer to Oklahoma, where all the chip manufacturing is happening. There's been a big infrastructure and chip and tons of jobs going there, thousands of jobs. And Pulte Homes is going in and just building these huge subdivisions. But we have a property team up there that is finding these old foreclosures, fixing them up, making them new, putting tenants in place. And so the price of property there is appreciating, which is unusual for Texas. It used to go up barely creeping along. So that's a good cash flow market, and it's appreciating pretty well too.
Excellent.
Now I'd say the third that stands out to me right now would be, you know, actually Cleveland, for a different, if people are looking for more cash flow, Cleveland, Ohio is really good. There's a lot of healthcare there. So that's an emerging market as well.
It's a great way to, if you want to buy your own properties instead of, you know, being completely passive in syndications, it's a great way to get into properties with some handholding and, you know, pre-vetted, with a great team. So that's excellent.
Yeah. Kathy and I do both, you know, we invest in syndications, as LPs, and we just also, like I said, we're still getting a couple single family properties to kind of round out the portfolio.
That's great. Well, Rich, just really wanted to thank you for your time for coming on and sharing, you know, a little bit about investing and then also really about the important stuff of life. So if you haven't had a chance to pick up his copy of his book, The Wise Investor, I recommend, highly recommend the book. It's actually all over my office. So if you come to my office, maybe if you're nice to me, I'll give you a free copy. Autographed copy too, I think. Signed copy. So, but just wanted to thank you for coming on and really appreciate your time and what you've contributed to the pilot community. With that, we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.